You know, there are many things that have puzzled me. I must admit that it is very, very difficult at times. I understand my own human inability and weakness. Most of you are aware of it as well, having heard me for a number of years. From time to time, I get overwhelmed by the responsibility that God has given me to pastor this church. I assure you, it is not something that I take lightly. My family will tell you how important it is that I do the best job I possibly can do for my Lord. I have often prayed for the wisdom that I need to minister to you. I, on numerous occasions, and I pray that you bear with me, okay, have been amazed. I mean, just totally amazed at the wisdom, at what God has done with something so weak as myself. I've even on occasion said, I can't believe that's me. If you can understand that. There's been occasions I've watched videos of me preaching and sat in amazement. And fall on my knees and say, God, thank you. Boy, I knew from the very beginning I couldn't do this thing without you. When I surrendered to the ministry, I said, God, I'm going to try to do this thing you've called me to do, but I can't do it without your help. And he's helped me. I mean, he has, when we get to heaven, you'll realize when everything is fully declared and disclosed, you'll realize just how far God has brought me, how far, how much he has carried me. You'll realize that it's the grace of God and it's not me. I realize that. This past week I was challenged by one of the newscasts. It was said that I needed, as a pastor of one of the local churches, unravel the Passion of the Christ by Mel Gibson for my congregation. Actually, this person that reviewed the film said that it is every pastor's responsibility to unravel the Passion of the Christ by Mel Gibson. I'll be honest with you. I have and had serious reservations about the movie. First of all, I had resentment. I must admit, I confess, there's a lot of resentment because I have been in some spirit-filled, powerful services of the Lord. I have witnessed some profound, powerful preaching that should have moved and stirred the hearts of God's people, and yet it didn't. And I guess as I knew that this movie would, through its visual imagery, cause a stirring and a burning in people's hearts. People come out of the movie crying and weeping. And I've sat in church with them, and you've sat in church with them, and we've not seen a tear fall from their eye. I have preached against violence. I've preached against the theater that has undermined Christian values for years and years. Suddenly, I'm challenged to embrace that same source that has been very demonic, very evil, and our enemy as a friend, an ally in the preaching of the cross. That's very hard. Yesterday, Aaron's writing a paper on anti-Semitism for college. And we all day yesterday, we debated this thing. And I must admit to you, and now I'm sure you are fully aware of it, many of my contemporaries, many of the God-fearing and God-filled preachers that you love and admire are opposed to this film. I hope you do know that. Like Brother Billy Moran, Brother Jerry Miller, and I could go on and on. My family, I love my family, okay? I love my wife, my son. I tell you, they can challenge me like nobody else can. Of course, you know, Aaron can disagree with me and just say, you don't know what you're talking about. None of y'all will do that. But he will. And so will my loving wife. In the course of our debating, we spent yesterday debating this thing. Aaron came home from college. We spent the day, for the most part, debating this film that we had not seen. And Andrew just finally said, you cannot hold those views without seeing it for yourself. Well, I guess she's right. As she always is right. I've already seen the many various, what do they call, trailer clips, you know, on the news. And, you know, I saw the interview with Mel Gibson, and of course what followed was a sex change on Nightline. And I know about, I've studied enough history. I know about faith-based persecution. The church is aware of faith-based persecution. Every Baptist should be aware of faith-based persecution. The Catholics persecuted us. We know that. Many of our brethren were killed and our sisters were tortured. And I'm aware of the possibility of anti-Semitism developing through media, through a movie. I'm aware that Adolf Hitler and the emotions that stirred the Holocaust in his heart was the result of a passion play of the brutality and the torture of our Savior being crucified. Some of those things alarm me. Many of the scholars and professionals of our day have said that the movie could possibly stir those same Holocaust feelings in someone who did have anti-Semitic feelings, hatred for the Jews. That's not good. I realize we're a visual society. We like to see it visually, don't we? That's why my job preaching is so hard. These children come to church and they can sit and watch a movie and their eyes fixed. They can watch a video or they can play Sega or Nintendo and their eyes fixed up on the TV screen. And yet while I'm preaching, they're always looking in their laps. Perhaps it's causing more of a hindrance than a help to be so visual. Because I'll tell you something. It is by the foolishness of preaching the Lord has chosen to save those that believe. Well, I have seen the movie. I don't want you to think that I'm bashing it. I don't want you to think that I'm supporting it. I told my wife last night, we went to a 10-10 movie. I don't know how long it's been since we've been to a 10-10 movie. But I was convinced that if I needed to unravel something from my congregation, I was going to do it to the best of my ability, as I've tried to do over the last 7 years. And I don't want to spend a lot of time here. I told my wife when we left, I'm just as puzzled as I was when I went. I'm afraid of the emotions that it can stir in a person. Our religion is not emotional, it's spiritual. Our gospel is not an emotional gospel, it's a spiritual gospel. And I am appalled at the way that it's used as a tool of evangelism. People, worldly sorrow worketh death. The only way you can be crucified with Christ is by conviction of the Holy Spirit. I do want to say, ask people, and you know, I saw the movie. And I would not recommend it to any of our kids. It's too graphic, it's too bloody, it's too gory. People, it's R-rated. I know there's some people from church that went last night, and I was invited to go, and I was still trying to pray. I was trying to ask the Lord, what is this thing? You know, how am I going to deal with it? Should I go? Should I not go? And at the same time, I really didn't want to go with a bunch of church people to an R-rated movie. That just did not sit well with me. I realized it was nothing nasty or there was no foul language. Probably the first movie I've seen in a long time, even some of them on TV that didn't have any foul language. Didn't have any foul language, with the exception of Peter. But it's very violent, very bloody, very graphic. It might make you sick. That's the emotion it stirred in Tiffany, is it just made her nauseated. But the question I want to ask people is this.
Because some of you have never fully realized what it means to live a crucified life. Some of you apparently don't understand what our Lord went through when He went to the cross. A lot of you haven't read it, do not understand it. But some of you that have seen it, my question is to you, are you living a crucified life? Now that you finally have realized what it entails? And I do want to say this. I have been more moved at a communion service than I have ever been moved by any film. Yes, I cried. I did not feel worthy of my Lord suffering those things. And yes, it did move me. I can't to see my Lord take that kind of punishment. Sure it did. Sure it did. We are to be crucified with Christ and we're to die daily. But I already knew about the blood curdling, vivid brutality that my Lord went through. Actually, I didn't get it all right in the movie about it, if you want to know the truth. Let me say this. I got to quit. I didn't mean for this to be a movie review, okay? I really didn't mean for that to happen. But I do want to say just a few things about using this tool as this movie as a tool for evangelism. We have churches that are renting out the theater so they can make an altar call at the end. Y'all know about that, don't you? You know what really upsets me? These people that have poked and made fun of us about us having feelings associated with salvation, they stand in their pulpits and they declare, "Do not trust your feelings." These hypocrites are now using emotions and feelings to evangelize. I have just a few passages of Scripture for them. May the Lord give me the holy boldness Brother JT was talking about this morning. You can find it in the 23rd chapter of Matthew. Using emotion and fleshly situations, using a film to deceive someone. You know, here's the irony. Listen to me very carefully. They are saying, don't trust your feelings. Don't trust any kind of feeling you have and associated with salvation. All of their counselors will tell these people, if they get under conviction, don't trust that feeling. And then they're using film, feelings, and emotions for evangelism. Don't you see the irony in that? Am I the only one that sees how ironic that is, how hypocritical that is, to stand in your pulpit and say, and they have said it, it's documented, you go ask them, they'll tell you they've said it, and yet they're using this film that stirs feelings and emotions to deceive, supposedly to bring people to Christ. But I call it deception, pure and simple. Jesus said, "Woe unto you, hypocrites." Verse 13 of the 23rd chapter of Matthew. Jesus said, "Woe unto you, hypocrites." In verse 14. Verse 15. "Woe unto you, hypocrites. For you can pass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves." Verse 16, "Woe unto you, ye blind guides." Listen, my friend, if you have not fully experienced the saving grace of God in your heart, if it wasn't a spiritual experience when you were born from above, you have no business trying to tell somebody else how to be saved. Amen. Blind guides! And I realize that's their problem, right? They're working in the flesh. They're carnal and they are not spiritual. People, the gospel of Jesus Christ, when it pricks your heart and troubles you and brings you to a place of repentance and faith, it's a spiritual experience. It's between you and God. It's real. I mean, it's a real experience. He said they were blind guides. Look in verse 16. He said unto them, woe unto you, you blind guides. Look in verse 17. Ye fools and blind. Look in verse 23. Woe unto you, hypocrites. Look in verse 24. Woe unto you, hypocrites. For ye clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within ye are full of extortion and excess. My friend, if salvation doesn't clean you up on the inside, it's not the saving grace of Jesus Christ. You got to be clean up on the inside first. And the only way you can get, God can get to your insides is through His Spirit. Listen, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. I'll tell you what, I've seen the movie. It doesn't hold a light to the night that the Holy Spirit got a hold of me when that preacher was preaching the gospel. It doesn't hold a light to when I got under conviction of my sins and I cried out for mercy. I'll tell you what, the blood of Jesus Christ was so real that night. I realized that it was my sins that hung Him on the cross. I realized that He was there in my stead, that He was taking my place that night when I was in trouble over my iniquities. I knew there was only one place I could go. Many times that preacher, like I do from time to time, will point to nothing, but I know already what he was pointing to. He was pointing to my Savior and people by the eye of faith. I saw the Lord dying for me that night, and nothing I've seen now or since can compare to when I felt it in my heart, the condemnation and the separation from God. But praise God, when I laid myself down at the foot of the cross and I trusted in Jesus with all of my heart, the weight was lifted off of me. My friend, I experienced the peace of God in reconciliation. If you've not experienced that, you are lost and on your way to a devil's hell. That night I was crucified with Christ. I experienced it. It was real. It was spiritual. It was something that I knew that God had just done to me. That He had just cleaned me up and He had made me whole. I went from being a child of the devil to a child of God. Yes, I went from darkness to light. And ever since that night, my life has been changed and rearranged. It's never been the same. Oh, I tell you. I've seen the film, but it cannot compare to what I went through when I was saved. That was more real. The Passion of the Christ is just a film. When all is said and done, when all the critics are done with it and all the reviews and the world's done using it as a so-called tool of evangelism, it'll still just be a film. Oh, but the gospel and the preaching of the cross will live on till the Lord come gets His church. Yes. Well, I didn't use that one. I don't know. You may go and see it. It really tear you up. I'm going to just have to tell you to pray about it and do what you feel like you need to do. If you're lost, will it help you? I really don't know. I do know this. What we do here will help you. Yeah. I do know this. That the gospel of Jesus Christ can transform your life. I do know this. That the Spirit of the Lord that meets with His church can bring the kind of conviction that brings salvation to your life. I do know this. That this forgiveness, the church advocates and proclaims the good news of the gospel that we preach and we uphold. I do know this. The church that lifts up Jesus before lost and dying world lifts up a Savior that can save. I do know this. The rest, maybe I'll remain puzzled. Maybe I'll never get the wisdom of God to accurately or fully comprehend, or maybe I'm failing as a pastor. Maybe I'm not able to unravel this thing for you. I wish you had a better one. You deserve much better than I am. I do know this. That what we preach, what we experience here will get you to heaven. I don't know what all the other stuff will do for you, but I know what this will do for you. Man, I know what it'll do for you. It'll change your life. It'll let you know that you know that you know you're safe. It'll let you know that you know that you're going to heaven. It's real. Salvation is real. God loves you. Yes, He gave His Son for you. And Mel Gibson gave about 30 seconds to the risen Savior. I thought Angie was going to applaud. They'd have probably thrown us out. She felt like it. My Jesus is alive. Yes. He is alive. I have supped with Him. And He supped with me. He's alive. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's made intercessions for me. He lives. Time and time again, and He has made intercessions for me. Oh, He lives. And most of my preaching and most of my Christian life has put greater emphasis upon that than His death. I've experienced a risen Savior. He has cared for me. He has watched out for me. He's in me. He lives through me. I've experienced that. I've seen that. I'm in Him and He's in me. And I can't explain that. Oh, but I enjoy that. Let me say this. I hope you don't go away from here and thinking that that film has caused me to be emotional this morning, for it did not. Oh, please, don't be confused. Don't be confused. I don't know where you stand with the Lord. I do pray for a great awakening. I would welcome it even if it's the result of a film. I'm so desperately praying for a revival. But I assure you this, if we have a revival, it'll clean up people's lives. And let me just make this point, okay? These people that say they're getting saved in some of these churches and through some of these methodologies of men, they're not cleaning up their lives. It's not cleaning up their lives. And you know what that indicates to me? It is not from God. I've studied the Great Awakening. I know exactly what it does. It makes a drunk man sober. It makes a harlot clean. I know the power of the gospel. It will transform your life. And if it doesn't, it's not from God. We have a lot of people that have experienced the gospel seed falling on the ground of their heart that is rocky. And it'll sprout up and it'll shout for a little while, but it doesn't bear any fruit. I believe when you get saved, you'll bear the fruits of the Holy Spirit. People, I'll just tell you something now. I am a fruit inspector. If it don't last, it wasn't of the Lord. Pure and simple. Those qualities and characteristics that were given to us by the Apostle Paul in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, of love and peace and joy and long-suffering. If you don't have that, you may not have the saving grace of God. Gentleness, kindness, those things are from God. And bear witness of the grace within our heart. Amen? I'll tell you, I'd probably be a mean person if God didn't get a hold of me. I would be. I might probably, I've told people this, I'd probably be in jail if God didn't save me. I realize that. I am what I am by the grace of God. But I'll tell you something, He's done a mighty work on Tim. I know it. I know what He's done to me. I know what He does to me. And you'll know what He does to you if you get saved. He'll let you see, get a good look at yourself every now and then. And I don't like what I see. Oh, but I like what I see when I see what Jesus has done in me. Whew. I like what I see when I see what Jesus has done in me. You may be here this morning and never saved by the grace of God. I'll tell you what we'll do for you. We'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. But all we can do is point you to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. You're going to have to go to Him for the saving grace you need. You're going to have to pray for yourself. You're going to have to seek the Lord for yourself. Salvation is a personal experience. That's another thing that irritates me. These preachers that get up and say it's a personal experience and then they have to use a counselor to get you saved. People, if there's anybody but you and the Lord, if there's anybody else involved in your salvation other than you and the Lord, it is not a personal experience. Man. Anytime there's a third party, it's not personal. If somebody has to do the praying for you or lead you through the prayer or counsel you through the session of salvation, it is not personal experience of salvation. Somebody else was involved. You want to get saved? You're going to have to take it to the Lord. You're going to have to seek the Lord. You're going to have to make an altar somewhere and get a hold of Him. You're going to have to experience the saving grace of God. You'll be the first one to know it when you get saved. Jesus said, a man must be born of the Spirit. In other words, He said, you've got to be born again. You have to be born from above. In other words, God's got to get a hold of you and touch your heart, or you didn't get it. So are you saved? Are you really saved? You're just playing religion. It's all carnal. It's all mental. Yours is an emotional religion. Ours isn't. Ours is really spiritual. We know the difference between spirit and emotion. They're the ones that don't. Do you really have a spiritual life in you that came from God? That's what regeneration is. A spiritual life that comes in you from God. When you really repent, when you really believe in Jesus, when you trust in Him with all of your heart, that's what you will experience. And until you experience that, you haven't repented, you haven't believed. As we stand and sing, I'm going to challenge you this way. Listen to your heart. God will spiritually tug at your soul. Amen? Amen. He did it mine. And when He calls you, you need to answer. Amen. You need to pray. You need to call on His name. Let us stand and sing.